holding on page Nun Tes in Brachos Ois Eves. And we learned yesterday about the Gemara quoted the pasuk the Gilu Bir Oda, the Mkoim Gilu Tehesham Ra'oda, that even that at a time when you're happy, there still needs to be a certain Ra'oda, there still needs to be a certain trembling and fear in front of Hashem. Page Nun Tes in Brachos. So now, continuing on that topic, here is one of those examples, by the way, where Ein Yaakov has things a little out of order of how it was, of how it is in the Gemara. In the Gemara, this next piece is in the middle of the previous piece that we had, and then later on, you have further down the Amud, the part that we learned yesterday about Einu Numli Spalo, that you have to stand up to Davin, Mitzvah Simcha Shal Mitzvah, and so forth. So the Mechaber, the compiler of Ein Yaakov put it in a different order, apparently, because the topic goes better, the topic flows better together. Anyway, the Gemara says, Mar Brei de Ravina Ovid Hilula Lebre. Mar Brei de Ravina made a wedding for his son. Chazan hu l'rabbanan to have a kobad chituva. He saw at this wedding that the chachamim there were being extremely over happy. Now again, you know, it's a wedding, you have to be besimcha, but he thought that it's going a little too far. Icy costed the mukra, so he took a glass cup, but actually says specifically zechuchas levana, which means clear glass, so clear glass or crystal or whatever. It was a very expensive cup, bas tof zuzi, that was worth 400 zuz. V'tover kamayu, and he broke it in front of them. V'yatzivu, and that made them that saddened them, and therefore that kept their simcha within bounds. Tosfos, in fact, points out this is the source why it is that we break a cup by chokma. Yeah. Why doctor did he use a glass cup? So there's a few different explanations. Marsha explains that glass to begin with is made from sand. And you break it, that's it, it's gone. The same way, it helps remind everybody that the person is like that also. Adam Yisodim may offer, and eventually he's going to die, and therefore that would help them keep their simcha within bounds. Eitz Yosef points out another point from the Tzlach, that you also have that suppose that a glass keli becomes tomei, you can break it and reform it, and the tumah is gone. In the same way, a person can break it. His spirit and do tshuva, and then that way that fixes him up. So that was the idea. Another example: Rav Ashi Ovad Hilulah Levrei. Similarly, Rav Ashi was making a wedding for his son. Chazanu l'rabbanan da'avu kabad chituva. The Tavar Kamai, we broke it in, did I skip those words? The Tavar Kamai, we broke it in front of them, the Iyatsivu, and then they were saddened by that. Which, by the way, Yad Yosef points out that usually you would be also to do that, it would be Baltashkis. But here he's doing it for a positive purpose in order to temper their simcha, so therefore it was allowed. Similarly, the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Ovid Hilulu Libray, by the same token, Rav Ashi made a wedding for his son, Chazanu L'Rabbanan Dehavu Kabad Chituva. He also saw that the Rabbanan there are being overly happy. Os Aisi Kosted as a Gisech Hivarta. So he brought a cup of white or clear glass. So the previous one was Kosted a Moikra. Rashi translates the same thing. It means Kosher Schokas Lavana. So according to Rashi, at least, there's no difference between Kosted a Moikra and Kosted as a Gisech Hivarta. They both mean a cup of clear glass or crystal or something like that. So there are different gusois and different explanations. In fact, Anaf Yosef says that Anaf Yosef brings that earlier in the previous parak when we had the story of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, when he's discussing with his wife, should he accept the nesius? And she tells him, what if they fire you from it? And he says, it's worth it to use a kosa de mokra for one day. So Rashi over there explained that kosa de mokra just meant a cup of very expensive glass. So in other words, the idea is, and Anaf Yosef says maybe over here, the same thing. Kosa de mokra just means a cup of glass that was very expensive. Kosa de zogisa chivauta specifically means that it was clear glass, which was even more expensive. In those days, it was relatively easy to make colored glass, but to make clear glass took an extra degree of technology that most people didn't have access to. Anyway, the Tavar Kamai, we broke it in front of them. The Yatsivu, and again, they were saddened by it. Another example, Omrulei Rabbanan Labeira L'Rahamnuna Zuti, the Hilula de Ma'abrei de Ravina, at the wedding of Ma'abrei de Ravina, the same one that was saved, the Pashas, the same one that, And Pasha is the same one that we're just saying before, that he saw where everybody was overly happy and he broke a cup. By the same wedding, they told him, they told Rav Hamnun Izuti, Lishri Lon Mar, sing for us a song. Now, so HaKosev actually says he wanted to avoid having to break a keli in front of them. Now, if we assume it was the same wedding, I guess we have to assume that either it was different times during the same wedding, or maybe one was by the wedding, one was during the Sheva Brachos or something. Whatever the case, HaKosev says he didn't want to have to use the extreme step of breaking a cup in front of them. So instead, he found he was going to do it another way. They invited him to sing a song, and he's going to sing them a song that puts everything in perspective. So he starts singing to them, Vaylon de Misnan, Vaylon de Misnan. Woe to us that we will die, woe to us that we will die. Why the double thing? Now, of course, the song, the Pashtus, you repeat things, but still, if the Gemara is going to the trouble of repeating it, shows that there's significance to it. That's what I was saying. Usually when you sing, you repeat the same words over and over, but still, the fact that the Gemara is quoting it shows that there's more significance to it than Stan, that it was a song where you repeat words. So Marsha explains, there's two reasons why a person should, there's two things that a person accomplishes by realizing that eventually he's going to die. Number one is, we learned back in the first perek of this Masechta, that La'olam yargizadim yetzatov al yetzahara, you have to anger, you have to provoke your yetzatov over your yetzahara, and one way of conquering the yetzahara, one of the extreme methods is yazku lo yamamisa, remind the yetzahara that eventually you're going to die, and therefore that helps put the yetzahara in his place. And then the second thing is that a person realizes that he has to constantly be doing tshuva. You have the line in Masechta the Shabbos where they ask Rabbi Eliezer, where he says in Pirkei Avos, Shuv Yamecha B'fnei Misasa, and they asked him, a person never knows when they're going to die. What do you mean, Yamecha B'fnei Misasa? He means that's exactly what I mean. Every day a person should be doing tshuva because he never knows the next day might be his last day. So the Vaylon de Misnan that Rav Hamnun Izuti is singing twice is both of those, he's having both of those points in mind. So they ask him, what should we sing as the chorus after you? Omrulahu. So he, which one meaning of that is, in other words, so what should we add to that? You're singing that song to remind us of that. And by the way, Mephoshim point out, Maratzchayas and a couple of other Achronim point out an interesting point, why such a song is appropriate by a wedding. I mean, in this particular case, we're saying he wanted to help them keep their simcha within bounds, but he points out, they point out the chlal. I mean, the whole reason why people need to get married and have children is because the older generation eventually dies out. Had it been that everybody lives forever like it was originally with Adam and Chava, there wouldn't necessarily be a need for people to get married and have children. So therefore, there really is a direct connection between one and the other. So they're asking him, What should we answer after you? In other words, what should we add to the song? So Eitz Yosef and Anaf Yosef discuss in some detail one point that they're asking is, we said in the first perek that you have three things that you use to Yargiz Yetzatov Yetzahara. First, you learn Torah. Then, if that doesn't work, then you say Krishna. And then, if that still doesn't work, then you Yazgul Yom HaMisa. So they're saying to him, you're going immediately to the third one. You're going to Yazgul Yom HaMisa. What more can we add to that? What more can we add to that beyond what you're already getting to the extreme over there? So he answers them, the chorus would be, E Torah, the E mitzvah, the bat leminon, woe to the Torah and woe to the mitzvahs that will be bottled from us after 120. Ikadamri, another version, Hachi Kamalahu, he tells them the chorus should be, Hey Torah, the Hey mitzvah, where is the Torah and where are the mitzvah, the Magnu Alon, that will protect us. Which means, in other words, again, so Marsha says that fits with, we're saying he's mentioning Yom HaMisa for these two purposes. So we're saying as far as both those things, we're saying that, as far as Yasek Batorah, which is the first way of controlling the Yetzirah, and as far as doing mitzvahs with the Tshuva, that's why he's mentioning to them Torah and mitzvah that will protect us. HaKosev says it differently. He says that now you have, like this, I'm singing you a song, he's saying to them, I'm singing you a song about how a person is going to die, which that Now, many people, that can lead them to cry. That would be the idea, in order to temper your simcha. But after all, then you have, on the other hand, the tzaddikim, who have accomplished what they needed to in this world. They don't have to cry when they're leaving the world. They would be the ultimate example, being Rav Shimon Ben Yochai, who was happy because he knows he's completed his avoda, and that's why we celebrate like Lag BaOmer. So therefore, so he says that's the true lashonus in the Gemara over here. The first lashon is a lashon e tod of the e mitzvah, is a lashon of regret. Woe to the Torah and mitzvahs that we're losing, that we no longer have the ability to do. The second one is, more about the tzaddikim saying, where is the Torah, where is the mitzvah that protects us? Because we know we are in fact bringing our Torah and our mitzvahs with us to protect us and to bring us to Chaya Olam Haba. And then Anaf Yosef says, in keeping with what he was saying, that they're asking, what are we supposed to add? Once you're saying Yema Misa, what can be worse than that? He's saying, you want to know what's worse than that? Person leaves the world without Torah and mitzvahs. That's even worse. Bad enough that a person passed away, even worse if he's going without Torah and mitzvahs. Hey Torah, hey mitzvah, that a person should be saying at the end of his life, where is the Torah, where is the mitzvah that would protect me? That would be even sad. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yechon Meshum Rav Shimon Ben Yochai. Osu la'odim shi'malis choy piv va'olam hazeh. A person is not allowed to fill his mouth with laughter in Olam Hazeh. Fill his mouth with laughter, what pashtus means. Like you have, you know, sometimes you have people like they throw their head back and they laugh, you know, what? Yeah, like you have, you know, look at some of these emojis that you have sometimes, you know, with a person opening their mouth wide and laughing. The pashtus, that's what we mean over here. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Oz then yimolei schoit pinu." Our mouths will be filled with laughter. Ol sheneinu rina, and our tongues will be filled with song. And the pasuk, and emasai, when is that going to be? As the pasuk continues, "Bizman shidyoim rubagoyim higdol Hashem lasa semela." When the nations are saying Hashem has done great things with these people, but meaning in other words, not until then. So Marsha explains, in other words, if you only had the first half of the pasuk, now before you had the whole kapitel, b'shuv Hashem es shuv asirin ha'yinu kecholmim. But he says that part of the kapitel is talking really only about Golus Babel. Ha'yinu kecholmim was 70 years. You have the famous story with Chonah Ma'agol sleeping for 70 years. But after all, it wasn't a gola amitis vashlein. So therefore, so it's not yet the time of Oz Yimolei Schoik Pinu. So we're saying, when is that time? When there's the future gola, which hasn't happened yet. Then we'll really have Oz Yom Ba'goyim Higdol Hashem Lasa Simela, and then we'll be able to be Oz Yomolik Schoit Pinu in the fullest sense. Now, you do have an interesting thing that the Rishonim argue about. What do we mean over here, Ba'olam Hazeh? Do we mean the problem is just that we're before the times of Mashiach, or do we mean the problem is that we're in Golos? So in the Torah, for example, the problem is only during Golos. In other words, implying that according to him, when the Beis Mikdash is standing, then you're allowed to be Yomolik Schoit Pinu. On the other hand, Rabbi Yona says that no, it means b'chlal in olam hazeh, meaning any time after the chet etzadas v'pashtus, all the way until Mashiach comes, is this time that we're talking about that you can't have yimolei schoik pinu. So in fact, the Taz points out, let's say it would come out, for example, according to the Torah, that let's say by simchas ve'il, now for sure, a simcha that's not of mitzvah, you have no business being yimolei schoik pinu regardless anyway, but for example, a simcha shal mitzvah in the time of the Beis Mikdash, simchas ve'is sheva, let's say, according to the Torah, that would be perfectly fine. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, even that not. And the Gemara says, Omru olav arish shlokish, shemi yomav le'milei schoik piv ba'olam hazeh, miki shoma mirab yechon and rabbi. They said about Rish Lakish that in his whole life, ever since he heard this statement from his Rebbe, Rabbi Yechanan, never again was he yomolei schoik piv. He never filled his mouth with laughter like that. Because now that Rabbi Yechanan said it, then Rish Lakish understood, this is the halacha, this is how it's supposed to be, and therefore he stopped doing it. Going back now to davening and the mood that a person has to be in for davening, the Gemara says, "Tana Rabbanan, Hamispalot Tzarich Shechavenes Libel Hashemayim." When a person is davening, Shemana Esrei in particular, he has to have kavana to Shemayim, towards Hashem. Abba Sholem, a simon ladover, a simon for that is the pasuk in Tehillim, "Tochen Libam Tachri Vaznecha." You will prepare their heart, and your ear will listen. So in other words, it has to be, if their heart, so tochin, now tochin can mean you will prepare their heart, that in other words, addressing Hashem, that you will help them have kavana, but it can also mean their heart will be prepared. Rashi seems to understand it the second way. If their heart is prepared, then takki vaznecha, then your ear, Hashem, will listen to their tefillahs. So different mafoshim explain why it is that it's only a simon. one thing, Eitz Yosef, brings from Rabbeinu Yonah, because primarily the kavana that we're talking about in the pasuk is not so much the kavana of the words of davening, but rather the kavana, like we talked about yesterday, about Koved Rosh. Rabbeinu Yonah understood that it meant to clear, that a person needs to clear his mind of the Tanuga Olam Hazeh, so therefore it primarily means that. And for that, you need help from Hashem. Tochen Libam, you Hashem, will help and prepare your heart. So you can't say necessarily when we're saying Sheikh Chavanis Libel Hashemayim, which implies that a person has to have Kavana on the words of davening, there's only a simon for it in the Pasuk, but not that it says it flat out. Continuing on how a person should daven, the Gemara says, Tanya Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Kachoyim in Hogesh Rabbi Akiva. This is how Rabbi Akiva would do when he was davening Shmoneh Esrei. Kshohoyim Mispaulim Atzibur, when he was davening together with the tzibur, he would make his davening short and he would finish up because of the tircha of the tzibur. Because after all, the chazan is supposed to wait for the rav or for the greatest person in the community over there before he begins chazaras hashatz. So if Rabbi Akiva was davening at great length, then it would be a tircha. It would be a bother for the tzibur to have to wait. What does it mean? Now it doesn't mean, of course, they would shorten Shmoneh Esrei. It means that he would. Again, Eitz Yosef brings from Rabbeinu Yonah, doesn't mean it would shorten Shmoneh Esrei. Of course, the Nusach of Shmoneh Esrei is the Nusach. It means that he wouldn't spend so much time with Tachnunim at the end of Shmoneh Esrei, like where we say on the Tain Netzer, and the brachas themselves, the words themselves of Shmoneh Esrei, he would say relatively quickly rather than taking his time having Kavanah over them. On the other hand, when he was davening alone, then you could leave him, you could see at the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, he's in one corner of the room, and by the time you come back later on, you'd find he's in the other corner. Why? Why is he moving from one corner to another? Because of all the bowing and prostrating that he was doing during Shmoneh Esrei, where he would end up moving around. You have to realize, I mean, nowadays, when we bow by Shmoneh Esrei, we bend our knees, we bow our back, we don't actually prostrate ourselves on the floor. In earlier times, they used to do that. The Gemara mentions in Megillah that an Odom Choshev shouldn't do it unless he's sure that the Eivishter is going to answer him like Yeshua ben Nun, but the Rabbi Akiva, of course, is of that caliber. So when he's doing Kriyas V'Shtachavoyas, it means he's honestly bowing on the floor and prostrating himself on the floor, and therefore he'd end up moving around from one place to another. Tosfos actually brings up the point, how there's only four times you bow during Shmoneh Esrei. How is he moving around? How is he moving around so much? And so one answer Tosfos says is that you are allowed to, and this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, you are allowed to bow in the middles of the brachas. We had for example, in the morning halacha that we say here after Shacharis the other day, we had something about that with Moedim Derabanan, that if you happen to be when the chazan gets to Moedim Derabanan and you happen to be in the middle of a bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, go ahead and bow with the tzibur, and you should, so that it doesn't look like everybody else is bowing to Hashem and as if you don't believe in it. Chas v'shalom. Only if you're in the middle of one of the brachas. But if you're at the beginning or the end of one of the brachas, then you shouldn't, because there's only the four places, the beginning and end of Ovos, and the beginning of end of Moedim, where the Chachamim made the Takana to bow, and you're not allowed to bow at the beginnings and ends of any of the other brachas. Anyway, so Tosfos says, evidently, based on the story of Rabbi Akiva, it would come out, you are allowed to bow in the middles of the brachas. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva would do that. The other possibility Tosfos says is maybe it means during the Tachnunim that he would say after Shmoneh Esrei. Then of course, he can bow as much as he wants. So he would end up going from one corner or the other to the room without even realizing it.
The idea he wants to bring over here, they're not davening Shmoneh Esrei, but davening Bechlali, it takes a long time.
Right. Well, but primarily when the Gemara uses the word Mispalo, usually it means Shmoneh Esrei.
Yeah, but
it means specifically, it's more particularly Shmoneh Esrei. There is actually a Chassidish Maisa on this, for Chassidim, where one time there was a Chassidish Rebbe, I think it was the Sorach from Sirilis, but I don't remember for sure. Anyway, he was davening very much Barichos, and afterwards somebody asked him, what about the Tircha de Tzibura? After all, we see Rabbi Akiva was worried about Tircha de Tzibura. So he answers, listen, Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim. You think among those 24,000, you couldn't find 10 who are willing to sit, to stand there while he's davening Barichos? So what do you mean that when he's davening the Tzibur, he would have to hurry up? So he explained it differently. When Rabbi Akiva is davening with the Tzibur, meaning the Tzibur is also davening the way they're supposed to, then Rabbi Akiva can daven relatively quickly. But when he's davening the Yechidus, meaning he's in the shul with thousands of other people, but he's the only one who's actually taka davening, then he taka has to daven at great length, so he has to be milo all their trillas as well. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba, Lo'olam yispal adam b'bayis shiyash b'chaloinus. A person should always daven in a room that has windows. Shenemar v'chabin psichan lei v'gamer, we find by Daniel, you have a story in Sefer Daniel where the other ministers of the king are jealous of Daniel. They're trying to get him in trouble with Daryavish, so they come up with an idea to have Daryavish pass a law that nobody for the next 30 days, anybody who has any petition has to present it to the king. You're not allowed to ask anybody else or any god or anything. And they catch him. Of course, they know Daniel's not going to listen. They catch him davening and they haul him off to the king and have him thrown into the lion's den. So the pasuk mentions that Daniel had windows open in his house where he was davening. So we see that there's an inyan to have the windows open. And the idea is, because that way you can look up at the Shemayim, in Shulchan Aruch, it mentions actually, really, when you're davening in Shemana Esri, we learned this before, you're supposed to be looking downward. If in the olden days you didn't have a siddur, then you're just looking downward and then keeping your eyes closed. And nowadays you daven with a siddur, so fine, you look down at the siddur. But if for whatever reason your kavana is nisbatel, if during Shemana Esri you start getting distracted, then you can refocus yourself by looking out the windows at Shemayim. So therefore, there's a point to have that. In Shulchan Aruch, it brings from the Zohar that preferably there should be 12 windows and they should be distributed around the shul. Lamaisa, of course, you know, depending how a shul is built, you have here, for example, two sides where it's impossible to have windows, but that's the nature of things. Anyway, so now the Gemara continues. Now there's a number of other dinim of Shemana Esrei that we learn from that story of Daniel and also from other psukim in Tanakh. You would think that a person can daven all day long. Now, to a certain extent, that's true. We do say halavai yispal adam kolayim kolay, but that's only if he's going to be mechadish something in each tefillah. You can't just daven a Shemana Esrei where you've already davened that particular tefillah unless you can be mechadish something in it. And in fact, it says in Shulchan Aruch nowadays that would be a tefillas nedava. And in fact, it says in Shulchan Aruch nowadays you shouldn't do that. Who can honestly say that they're even mechaven on the regular Shemana Esrei, much less that they're going to have kavana for a tefillas nedava? Maharsha explains, the Gemara is saying, you would think that a person has the shus to daven all day if he wants. We see in that same story with Daniel, where it mentions the point specifically that three times a day he was davening. And the point is, in other words, Maharsha says, even though now Daniel had extra reason to daven, they were still in Golus. We find later on in Sefer Daniel where he was fasting and davening tremendous tefillas to ask the Eidusha to take us out of Golus. Some of those when we have in Bahur Rachum on Mondays and Thursdays, and when we have in Selichas Daniel Ish Hamudas Shiva the Panacha, the psukim that we quote, they are part of his tefillah. So even though he had tremendous reasons to daven much more than usual, nevertheless, he limited himself to the three daily tefillos. So we see that that's the right way to do that. Continues the Gemara, Yochel Mishabola Goyla Hochama. You would think maybe he only started davening three times a day only when he went into Golos. No, Kvar Nema, the Pasuk says, Dehava Oved Min Kadmas Dino. He was doing this from beforehand. Now, the beforehand, of course, doesn't mean that before the ministers came up with their plot. There's no chiddush in that. Of course, the whole reason they figure they can get him is because they know he's been davening all this time. So if the pasuk makes a point of mentioning that he was doing this beforehand, it has to mean before he ever was taken into Golos 50 years earlier or however long, 50 or 60 or whatever it is years earlier. Next, Yochel Yispal Adam B'chol Ruach SheYirtzeh. You would think that a person can daven in whatever direction he wants. Which we learned in the previous parak that not, you're supposed to daven in the direction of Yerushalayim. No, Talmud Lema, lo kovelu neged Yerushalayim. Neged Yerushalayim is actually what it says in the pasuk. But he was davening opposite Yerushalayim, meaning that he was in Bavel or in Shushan or wherever he was at the time, and he was davening in the direction of Yerushalayim. Maharsha, by the way, points out, I mean, when we daven, we don't specifically daven in the direction of Yerushalayim. We learned in the previous parak that you daven in the direction of Eretz Yisrael. But the point is, he was living in Bavel. Relatively speaking, Bavel is not that far from Eretz Yisrael, so it's possible to calculate things carefully enough and actually be able to face Yerushalayim proper. Whereas, for example, when you're living, for example, in Europe or in America or whatever, where you're much further away, then the less rarity you're facing Yerushalayim as a whole. Incidentally, worth mentioning in that connection, there is an interesting discussion about the question, what is the actual direction to daven in towards Yerushalayim? You know, like this, we're always used to daven towards Mizrach. The fact is, that the fact is, if you take a globe and put a string on it between New York and Yerushalayim, for example, you'll find that it actually goes northward. It goes along the coast of North America, and then it curves and goes over the Atlantic. When you fly to Eretz Yisrael, by the same token, planes take the same route because it actually is shorter. It's called the Great Circle route. So there is an argument that maybe that should be the direction you daven in. And in fact, if you look in the Alter Rebbe, if you look in Siman Tzadik Daled, where the Alter Rebbe discusses these dinim, he seems to be saying as much. He seems to be saying that you calculate the Great Circle route rather than just taking a flat map and drawing a line on it. So it would come out, according to that, that here in New York, we ought to be davening more or less northward or northeastward. Lamaise, you don't see people doing that. Lamaise, everybody assumes that you just daven eastward. And the fact is, of course, directly eastward is not right either. If you go directly eastward from New York, you're not getting to Eretz Yisrael anyway. You're getting to Turkey or something. So really, in any case, it should be slightly south. So according to that, anyway, even if you were using a flat map, it should be slightly southeast. But according to that, maybe the attacker would be a reason to daven more to the northeast because that would be the actual shortest path on a map. Anyway, there's a lot of ink has been spilled on that point, but it's an interesting point to consider. Anyway, continues the Gemara. Yochel yehei kolon b'basachas. You would think that you can combine all the tefillas together. So in other words, so we learned before, you have to have three tefillas. We learned in the previous perek, Keneged Avraham, Mitzvah, and Yaakov, Keneged the various tzmidim, but still you would think that you could just bunch them up one after the other. No, Kram HaFurash Aliyah David, there you have a pasuk from David that says clearly otherwise. Dichtiv, Erev Avoka V'Tzaharayim, I mean, he says in the evening and the morning, and in the afternoon, Asicha V'Emeh. So we see that there's a particular inyan to have those three times. And now with that said, we're going to have, for example, the Hayom Yom, 2 days from now, mentions Rabbi Kusiel Lepler, where sometimes he would daven Shachas Mincha Maariv back to back. But that wasn't because he's bunching them up together. That was because by the time he finished Shachas with all his Kavonis and everything, it was already time for Mincha. And by the time he finished Mincha with everything, it was already time for Maariv. We're not talking about that. Next, Yochol Yashmiya Kol B'Tfilah. So you would think when a person is davening Shemana Esrei, maybe he should make his voice heard. He should daven loudly. No, Kvam Afurash Ayideh Chan. There we have, otherwise, we're told by Chana, where the pasuk says that her voice was not heard. Which soon the Gemara is going to start analyzing in great detail that story of Chana and learning a lot of halachas and things from it. Continues the Gemara, Yochu Yishal Odom Tzracha V'Achakach Yispalo. You would think that maybe a person can ask for his needs and then daven. In other words, Yispalo would mean to say the brachas. It actually explains the first three brachas, which are shevach, which are praise to Hashem. So you would think the order could be that first you ask for everything you need, atachonen and hashivenu and the rest of them, and then you praise Hashem. No, kramafurish ayde shloimer. There we have shloimer tells us otherwise. Shenema, in his tefillah by the Chanukah Sabayis, he says l'shmoya ala rina ve'ala tefillah. He asks Hashem to listen to the rina and the tefillah. So, rina zu tefillah, the word rina, which means crying out, or actually it means more singing out, it means more singing out, zu tefillah, this refers to what we think of as tefillah, namely the shevach, the praise of Hashem. Tefillah zu bakosha, and when he says, then the tefillah, that means the request that you're asking from Hashem. So Marsha explains now there's actually a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that actually discusses this and brings a different pasuk where it sounds like you should where it sounds like you should ask from your needs from Hashem first. But our Gemara is mentioning this pasuk and he's saying that there is in fact a difference. Tefillah can mean In Lashon HaKosuv, usually it means it would mean to petition for what you need. In the Lashon of the Gemara, it means more shevach. So he explains that since you have the earlier in that same pasuk, he mentions that Hashem should listen. So therefore, we see also clearly from that it means you have to have shevach first and then tchina, where tchina unequivocally means to beg Hashem for what you need. So now the Gemara the Braisa finishes off. Now, if you have to ask something from Hashem of your needs, you don't say it after Emes V'Yatziv at the beginning of Shemana Esrei. You say it during Shemana Esrei. Aval achas tefila. So after davening, afilu kaseder shall be kaseder vidu. So you're not kippurim omer. If even if you want to say you have a long petition that you want to ask Hashem at the time after Yiru L'Ratzin, at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, you want to even put in something over there as long as what we say on Yom Kippur, then you can do that. Itmar Nami, and there was said also a statement of Amiroyim, Amir Abchir Ba'ashi Amirab, Afbisha Amir Shoyal Avin Tzrachav V'Shemei Atfila, even though the Chachamim told us that a person can ask for his needs in Shemei Atfila, that would be only something relatively brief. So in Shemei Atfila, it has to be something relatively short. But in Ba, Loima, Achat Tfilosa, Afila Kasedo, Shemei Kippurim, but after the Shemoneh Esrei, after the 19 brachas, if you want to say something long, even as long as what we say on Yom Kippur, Oimo, then you can say it at that point. And that's the halacha. That is how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. So you are allowed, we've mentioned this before, that you are allowed to add short things in each of the brachas of davening that are appropriate to that bracha. You actually have some sidurim where they actually print, for example, in Refrain, or they'll have as a footnote or something over there, a tefillah that you can say. If somebody's sick, then you can add it in. They give you a nusach to add. Baruch Aleinu is something for Parnasa, and similar things sometimes for the other brachas as well. And then Shemak Aleinu would be a catch-all for everything. But all of those have to be relatively short. You shouldn't have that your personal tefillah is going to be longer than the bracha that the Chacham set up. But after Shemoneh Esrei, we're saying you can add as much as you want. So the Gemara says, Omer Rav Hamnuna, Kama hilchas gavra vasa ikala mishma mahani kroy dechana. Look how many great, tremendous halachas we can learn from the psukim in the story of Chana. Now, not all of them do we have to learn exclusively from here. Some of them we can learn from other places as well. Marsha points out, we just said before, we learned some of them from Daniel and from David HaMelech and so forth, but we see them expressed in the story of Chana. So, first of all, V'chana himida beres al libra, the pasuk says Chana was speaking on her heart, meaning that her heart was involved in her tefillah. Mikan l'mispal tzarech sheichav enes libra. So we see from that a person has to have kavana with their heart when they daven. Like we said before, tzarech sheichav enes libra l'shamayim. Raks v'seha nois, when the pasuk says that only her lips were moving, mikan l'mispal tzarech sheyachtich v'sfasev. From there we learn, a person is davening Shemoneh Esrei, they need to actually express the words with their lips. It's not enough to just think it verbally, you actually have to say it out. Now the Alter Rebbe explains in various places in Tanya, the deeper reason behind that, because you can't just have that Moichin is involved, you have to have the Gashmias of the world involved, and that implies, and that implies that you're moving your lips. Next, the koila lo yishama. When the pasuk continues, the koila lo yishamea, her voice was not heard. Mikan l'mispalo shalay yashmiya koila b'tfilase or she'osa lagia koila b'tfilase. From there, we learn that a person davening Shemoneh Esrei, they're not allowed to make their voice heard. They say it in a whisper so that only they themselves hear. The pasuk continues by yashaver Eli the shikora that Eli thought that she was drunk. Mikan shashipur also v'yispalo. From there, we learn that when a person is drunk, they're not allowed to daven. There's nothing else to have kavan. So the pasuk continues. The next pasuk is Eli says to her, "How long are you going to be drunk?" If you see somebody else acting improperly, then you have to tell them off. You have to give them musa for it. Now we have that in the pasuk. In the pasuk in Chumash. So Tosfos points out, here we're talking about even something which is not flat out osur. If it's flat out osur, then of course you have a mitzvah of Torah and the Torah. Here we're talking about something which is not. It's just a bad midah, and therefore nevertheless, so we learn from the story with Hannah that you're supposed to still give the person Torah about it. And when the pasuk continues, so far those are various halachas that we learn from the story. Now the Gemara in the middle, we have something which is not a halacha, but we're going through the pesukim in order. So the Gemara mentions a drasha on it, and then we're going to go back to halachas. Vatan chana vachem lo yadoni. She answers and she says, "No, my master." So now she continues in the pasuk and she says that I've had a very hard time. Yayin v'sheicha lo shasisi. Don't think that I've drunk wine or strong drink. So therefore, so why is she saying at the beginning lo yadoni? Let her just say Adoni Ishak Shasruach Anoichi. Why the loy? Oma Ulavi Temer of Yosef Mchanina. Omra loy. It means that she's telling Eli loy Odin after the Dover Zeh. You are not my master when it comes to this thing. the Lord Ruach HaKodesh Shoda Alecha, and the Ruach HaKodesh is not resting on you, that you are suspecting me of this. Because if you actually had Ruach HaKodesh, then you would know that what I'm doing is not that I'm drunk, but rather that I'm davening sincerely to the Eibishter.
What does mean,
Loy Adonata? Means you're not my master. In other words, you're not on the level that you're supposed to be on. You don't have, he doesn't have the level of Ruach HaKodesh. Keep in mind, Chana herself is one of the Nevi'ahs. Now, by the way, so Marshall points out like this. Rashi explains what made Eli think that she was drunk in the first place. So Rashi says because they weren't used to davening quietly. Marshall says, what are you talking about? The whole sugya over here was saying you're supposed to daven Shemoneh Esrei quietly. So what's the problem? So rather, Marshall says that she was davening for so long, so he figured, you know, like you have a shikur, a lot of times starts talking and babbling and talking endlessly, so he thought that she's like that also. In fact, Marshall brings from a medrash that the fact that she davened so long actually ended up causing that Shmuel's life was shorter than it otherwise would. So he brings from a medrash, Ayudesha Hirgis of its filler, because she davened for so long, through that, Kitzra Yom of Shmuel, through that, she shortened Shmuel's life. What the connection is, I don't know, but that's Marshall brings that from a medrash. Anyway, she's answering Eli that I have to daven at length because Ishak Shasruach Anoichi, as we've learned at the beginning of the parak, she's been very bitter in spirit with everything that she's gone through. And therefore, she has a valid reason for davening. There's a couple of other Achronim talk about various other angles, what Eli was thinking about, why he was thinking she's drunk in the first place. One point is that, yes, you daven quietly when you're davening the tzibur, because you don't want to distract the rest of the tzibur. But there's no tzibur over there. So what's she doing? So he thought, therefore, she doesn't know what she's doing and she's drunk. There's a famous chicha where the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea behind it, that he knew full well she has every good reason to be davening over there and to be davening silently and so on and so forth. But he's asking her, today is Rosh Hashanah. You're supposed to be focused on Meloich HaOlam Kula B'Chvedecha, on recrowning the Eibishter as king. What are you doing davening for your own needs? You're drunk with gashmius, he's telling her. And she answers him that, no, I'm asking for a son that I'm going to dedicate to the Eibishter. So that I'm not davening for myself, I'm davening to be able to accomplish what I need to in the world for the Eibishter. Anyway, she tells him, Loy Adonat B'Davazeh, you're not my master in this thing. Loy Ruach HaKodesh, Shor Alecha. Ruach HaKodesh is obviously not resting on you. Shatech Hashdeni B'Davazeh, that you're suspecting me of simple thing, of being drunk when I'm nothing of the sort. Ikadamri, Hochi Omrele. Another version is that she's saying to him with the Loy Adoni, she's saying in, as a rhetorical question, Loy Adon Ata B'Davazeh, aren't you supposed to be the master in this kind of thing? Loy Ika Shchina V'Ruach HaKodesh Gabach, isn't there the Shchina and the Ruach HaKodesh by you? And instead, should Antoni Lakaf Choyva V'Loy Antoni Lakaf Schus, that you're judging me badly and you're not judging me favorably? Milo Yadata De'ishak Shas Ruach HaNoichi. Don't you realize that I'm a woman of a very hard and bitter spirit, and that's why I'm davening for so long? Eon Yaakov, by the way, later on in the sugya mentions another point, also why Avi thought she was drunk. Like this, the din is, we learned in the previous parak, that when a person is davening Shemoneh, well, actually, we learned a different thing, but anyway, that when a person is davening Shemoneh Esrei, you're not supposed to walk in front of them. So now, if she's standing there a long time davening, eventually, Eli has to pass through, so it would be derech eretz to finish up davening so you can go through. And she's not, and therefore Eli suspected that she's doing something wrong. Anyway, so now she's telling him that you're supposed to have Ruach HaKodesh. What do you think you're doing? There is a famous explanation in that regard from the Vilna Gaon that says we know when the Kohen Gadol would ask the Urim V'Tumim, the letters would light up, and then it takes Ruach HaKodesh to determine what the order of the letters is, what order to put the letters in that light up. So like this, when he sees that she's standing there davening at some length, he was curious, he asks the Urim V'Tumim, he gets back the letters Hey, Chof, Resh, and Shin. And he arranged those letters, he thought that those letters arranged to spell the word Shikoda. So therefore, that's why he called her out and thought that she's drunk. And she answers him, no, you don't have Ruach HaKodesh. If you had Ruach HaKodesh, you would realize the letters are supposed to be Chof, Shin, Reish Hey, which can either spell out Kis Sara, meaning that this woman is like Sara, barren for many years and davening for a child, or Kshera, that she's a kosher woman. So if you had Ruach HaKodesh, you would realize what's going on. So if you didn't and you misarranged the letters, then it shows you don't have Ruach HaKodesh. Yeah.
Only a
woman. So she continues, V'yayin v'sheicha loisha sisi. She continues, I haven't drunk wine or strong drink, meaning, from here we learn another din, that if a person is suspected of something, and in fact he's not guilty of it, the person who was suspected has to inform the other person in order to cleanse himself of it. So, like this, Avi suspects that she is drunk, she can't just brush it off, she has to actually inform him, no, in fact, I'm not drunk, don't suspect me of that. We learn a halacha from that. In fact, you have a pasuk in Chumash that says "Be'yisim nekiyim me'Hashem u'me'Yisrael" that expresses that idea that it's not just good enough to be clean in Hashem's eyes. You also have to be as much as possible clean in other people's eyes. That it shouldn't be that people are choshed you of something improper. She continues. Al titin es hamoscha l'fnei bas l'yal. She continues. Don't make your maidservant, meaning me, to be as if I was a bas blial, but blial is from the word bli oil, meaning a person who doesn't have the yoke of yiras shemayim. So don't think that I'm such a person. From here we learn that if a person davens when he's drunk, it's as if he's worshiping Avodah Zarah. And we see that by an irani dachas, it uses the same word blial to mean people to mean rishoyim who are going and convincing the people of the city to worship Avodah Zarah. So malahalan Avodah Kachavim, afkan Avodah Kachavim. So the same way she's telling Eli, don't suspect me of being Oved Avodah Zarah by davening when I'm drunk. Why would it be like Avodah Zarah? So the Rashba over here explains because when a person is drunk, They're not thinking clearly. So the same way, in other words, al derech hayav between Oruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. So the same way, when a person is davening, when they're drunk, they may get mixed up and they're going to think wrong thoughts about what the Eved Shteh is, and so forth. And that is tantamount to Avodah Zarah. So then the Gemara finishes off when the pasuk continues. Vayan Eli vayomer l'chila shalom. Eli tells her, "Go in peace." From here we learn that if a person did like this, where he suspects somebody unjustly of something that they in fact did not do, you have to appease them with words, you have to ask them the chila. Not only that, you have to give them a bracha, namely that Eli continues, Hashem should grant you what you're asking for. So we see, in other words, the point is, if it was just that he's telling her go in peace, in other words, go gizem to hate, then he would have put it at the end. He would have first given her the bracha that the Eved Shteh should fulfill your request, and then he would tell her, okay, now that you've had that, then l'chi v'shalom, go home in peace. The fact that he says it the other way around, the l'chi v'shalom, we learn from that, therefore, is him appeasing her, is him trying to make her feel better after having been choshed the kid.
And then
on top of that, he has to additionally give her a bracha, which is what the Gemara says what he did by saying Velikei Yisroel Yitnas Shelos. Yom Yom Mashiach Go'ola for Chochtes Cheshven. Rebbe talked about that in order to bring about the revelation and coming of Mashiach, take from Yad, every single yid has to increase, especially in Inyanei Mashiach Go'ola. And more so, as is posher, to increase in keeping mitzvahs behidur, especially the hidur of mitzvahs hatzdaka, which after all, mitzvahs hatzdaka encapsulates all the other mitzvahs, and is makarevas hagula. And then the Rebbe continues, to kedai v'nochon, to join together, to tie together this increase in tzedakah with an increase in Torah in Yonim Mashiach Geula, namely that you're giving extra tzedakah with the Kavanah to bring the Geula closer, and that way, that Kavanah itself is part of learning Torah in Yonim Geula. We started yesterday on halachas about drinking wine and the Dinim HaTovah Meitiv. So we know that if you eat bread, then it patters all the other foods that you drink, that you eat during the meal. The same way, if you're drinking wine, so the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says if you kaveya yourself, like you decided you're going to sit down together with people and then have wine together, and the Alter Rebbe says not even if you're not kaveya, then it patters all the other drinks from bracha rishona and bracha achrona, only if those drinks were there when you made the bracha on the wine, or at least you had in mind to drink them. If you didn't have them in your das at all, then it's a suffix. The Alter Rebbe in fact says that in that case you would in fact say shakol on the other drinks. So therefore, better in that case, what you do is, so according to the Alter Rebbe, it's just you say shakol, and that's the end of it. According to the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, what you should better do is make the bracha achrona on the wine, and then drink the other drink, or else make a bracha on some food, which is shakol, because after all, the food is not covered by the wine, and then you can drink the shakol drink as well.